Cost We Make, the podcast about making creativity and why we do what we do as makers and creatives. I'm your host, Vincent Ferrari, and joining me as always, my good friend and co-host, Ethan Carter.
What's up, Vincent?
Well, if you're listening to this podcast, the world didn't end yesterday.
Yeah, exactly, right.
And I'm really thinking about them. I'm like, wow, it's so weird that we're recording on what could be the last night of normal civilization for the rest of our lives.
It will be interesting to see. Yeah, right. We're kind of like bookending the election night. That's a good point.
So as we talk about cheery, happy things and giggle and laugh and have fun, just know we have no idea what's happening on election day.
Right.
If the world is burning, well, you know, this is the last podcast you'll hear from us.
See, I thought you were talking about the fact that I wasn't on the podcast last week, and that, you know.
I'll tell you what. So I'm just going to tell you straight up. It was so weird to kind of go back to where Because We Make got
before,
started.
Yeah.
And I was messaging Marion before the episode, and I was like, I wonder if I even still remember like how to do an episode without a co-host.
That's so funny though.
You get used to it.
Yeah, but I have no doubt that you can handle, like, you're, yeah.
I could do it, right? I know. Sure. I mean, in my mind, I don't think I could do it,
but you could definitely.
You totally could do it. So for those of you that are, obviously, you don't know what goes on before the podcast, we just literally had the longest pre-show that we've ever. Usually our pre-show consists of like 3 minutes of, hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Let's get started. Anything we can ask you, what's your thing of the week? Let's go, right? Yeah. We just had like a 25-minute conversation. And the last thing I said before we get started was, okay, that was a great show. Now let's do the show.
It's a good sign, though. It's just when you have a guest who we have not announced yet, but when you have a guest that is that engaging, it's easy to get caught up in conversation. So
yeah, and so I almost feel like you should introduce our guest because you know her a hell of a lot better than I do. I mean, we just met and we've been chatting, and that's great. But you guys knew each other before this, so. Why don't you introduce our guest, Ethan?
Just said that I don't think I could do it, but
well, see, I'm dragging you in. I'm letting you drive the bus.
No, so okay, so our guest is the one and only. Her channel has been one of my favorite channels since the second year of Workbench Con, right after it, when I was introduced to it by Bruce. But I love her channel, and she is a good friend. And an amazing maker, an amazing content creator, an amazing person. It is Aaron of Maker Gray. Welcome.
Oh, guys, you have me up here smiling so big my face hurts. Aw, so nice. That's so nice. Also, totally laughing about our pre-show and really what was just a huge real show beforehand that we weren't recording. And oh my gosh, the election. I can't believe this is coming out the day after the election.
I know, right? It's nuts.
We never talk about this stuff on here, and I'm definitely not in the mood to talk about it tonight, but it's just, it hit me right as we started recording. I'm like, oh, wow. Cause like, if you went back to, I don't know, maybe like the beginning of February and just like everything was just kind of normal and everything, mm-hmm. like there was no COVID, everybody was just doing their thing. And, you know, and you said, okay, in a month from now, all hell is going to break loose and nothing's going to be the same after.
Right.
You would have gone, all right, whatever, dude. But now it's like, now you're almost on edge, like waiting for things like that to happen. It's
right.
Like, this is going to happen. I'm a little scared, but I'm kind of hoping that we can keep it together at least for a little bit. God, please, for a little while.
I hope it can't get worse.
whoever wins, I don't even care. Can we just be adults? Like, just go, okay, wasn't my guy this time. Maybe it'll be my guy next time. Like, you know, the way we used to do it.
Yeah, the way we used to do it.
That's a great way of putting it, yeah.
Exactly.
In the ancient times of like 2017.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
oh man, back in the good days.
Yeah.
Oh, way back when everybody didn't hate each other.
Yeah. Right.
But we definitely don't hate each other. We seem to really like each other.
I think, Vincent, you said when we got on, you're like, oh, is this going to be one of those episodes when it's just a love fest between all of us.
Well, no, I said it's going to be a love fest between you and Aaron because y'all seem to love each other, and the guests always love Ethan. So, Aaron, for those of us who are uninitiated in your awesomeness, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got started and that kind of stuff? You know, the basic framework, so we know who you are.
Sure. So I am Aaron Longfellow. I live down in Texas, and I'm a maker with a huge emphasis in the DIY realm. And I, you know, strong into woodworking. I've dabbled in metal, done a little bit of many different things, but I'm really, really interested in showing people that they can do anything that they'd like to do. You know, those weekend warriors that are like, you know, I'd love to build a bed, but I don't know how, or I'd love to make a coffee table and I can't quite afford the one I want. So yeah, I'm a maker and a photographer and a videographer, and I absolutely love it.
So I was kind of binging your videos today just to make sure I was properly prepared for the episode. And one of the things that struck me about your videos and struck me about your style, you know, having you say that you're kind of catering toward, you know, potential DIYers and weekend warriors, it really did kind of drive home what you do in your videos, because I noticed, and it was very noticeable, you don't have any really wacky, crazy tools at all. You recently, I guess, got your saw stop, but you were doing stuff on a Ryobi saw that terrified me when I went to look at it at Home Depot.
Oh my gosh. So terrifying. I feel so much better about a table saw now. And that's, you're right. It's half intentional that I don't, and also half that I've just, you know, still been accumulating tools.
As you need them. Right.
Right. Yeah. But I don't really want to have too much that is unapproachable for people, you know. Naturally, I keep collecting things, but I kind of want to keep it, you know, in the, you know, Ryobi kind of domain, so people can feel like they can, you know, do it as well.
You have, I mean, I saw a lot of tools I have, and I was like, wow, okay, cool. So she's normal.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It's so weird because everyone now, and I was watching somebody's stuff today. I don't even remember who it was, but I was just watching like, oh God, could you stop? Everything just feels like sponsored and given to the, and it's like, okay, you know, I get it. I wouldn't turn down tools either.
Sure.
But it's like, sometimes you watch what people have and you're like, do you even know what it's like to try to do something with like a $50 drill? Like, do you have any idea what a $50 drill functions like at all?
I think it's also I think there's like a balance of that too. It's like not being so tied to the cheapest, like Black and Decker, right? Like there's a combination of, and I think Ryobi is a really good example. Again, I think the one place I would argue is the table saw, because I think table saws can be kind of dangerous.
Terrifying. Yeah.
As long as the tool's not dangerous, like it's, you know, I don't know, but there's something like Ryobi's good. You don't have to be the cheapest, but you have to be, you can do a ton with the mid range thing. And I think that's something that's, I don't know.
It's about bang for the buck, really.
Right.
That's
exactly.
That's what it is.
Yes.
It's bang for the buck.
Right.
Also, in just getting it done. I mean, I draw a huge line. I want to say I draw a huge line with Harbor Freight just because obviously, you know, those things will just start smoking on you. But I did, my first belt sander was a Harbor Freight sander. And I will tell you, that thing lasted a long time until one day it did just that. It just started smoking on me. And it was done. It was, poor thing, had been put through the ringer. But, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to buy tools that I'm just going to replace every year. You know, like I want something that's going to work for me and get it done. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I mean, I hate to say this, but I don't need Festool. You know, I don't need the most expensive stuff. I mean, I love it and I appreciate it. But I also, if I'm using, you know, a very expensive drill that, and I'm trying to cater to people that I want them to understand that they can do these things as well, it's just not going to go over as easily. So,
well, it's also like what your work needs, right? I mean,
right.
For me, I'm not making I'm not Four Eyes Furniture. I'm not making high end furniture. So yes. I don't need Festool's stuff.
Exactly. And like, the people
I would love to have it, but right. Like, oh, I don't sure. need it. Right.
Well, the people that are watching people that are watching his videos are going to have that same kind of equipment because they're going right. to be making those builds that, you know, I will just say that, man, I'm not going to approach his builds anytime soon just because I don't have those skills.
Nor do I really want to. I mean, I love it, but I don't
I
really
love it.
Want
yeah, yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it. I love watching his videos for many reasons. I mean, his videography is amazing. His stories mm-hmm. are amazing. His new cold open intros, I can't get enough of. Yeah. But I am not... Yeah, I'm not going to be doing any fine woodworking anytime soon, and so I don't need those tools.
Yeah, and yet with I wouldn't call them basic tools, but you know they are attainable tools, and with those and attainable materials, you've made some
right.
unbelievable stuff.
Thanks,
well, I think
Vincent.
That goes to your design sense too.
Oh, I mean, thank you.
And I was just going to say, yeah. So the one thing that struck me, and I apologize for just binging on your stuff, so I'm very like
no
right
I'm
now
happy
it's
about
like
it.
But it's like I was really like into what you had going on, and one of the videos that really got me was that coffee table.
Oh thanks mm-hmm. man, I feel like that is mm-hmm. just undersung. It's such
is.
A cool table, and honestly probably one of the nicer things I've built just because the tabletop was more involved mm-hmm. and I actually use solid maple on it where I'm usually building something out of plywood mm-hmm. But,
oh my gosh,
yeah,
I just looked at the views. That's incredible. I would not have, because I love that build as well. That's incredible. I mean, yeah.
Aww, when I saw the legs, the way mm-hmm. you did the legs, I was just like, oh, this is just pure genius. Like, this is just pure freaking genius.
I loved it. I couldn't, I had the shape in mind, but I couldn't figure out how to make them. And using solid maple for those thick legs would have just been so expensive.
Right.
And so I was brainstorming. I thought of concrete. I thought that would have been so cool, but I couldn't figure out how to do a form to make that right. shape. And I could have, you know, probably figured it out after a while of, you know, workshopping it. But I thought, you know, I'm just going to try plywood. And I had some plywood scraps left over and I started building it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this looks like, almost looks like wicker. You know, mm-hmm. it almost looked like wicker legs. When I first put it together, just kind of as a dry fit and I stood back, I smiled so big. I was just like, oh yeah, this is working. I love it. And
yeah,
and that's
awesome.
My personal coffee table. I mean, I think just about everything I build is something that I need. And so I use that thing every day and I love it. So that's really kind of y'all. Thank you so much.
It's everything that I watched. Everything I watched was over the top as far as design. Like the design sense was like clean and mm-hmm. modern and interesting. And yet it was done. It's almost in spite of the tools you're doing it with, you produce the things you produce. Like, and I just want you to know, I have your bed plans.
Oh, wow.
In pocket. I am actually going to be buying them because I plan on making that bed very soon.
Oh,
because
very cool.
This is the easiest bed build I have ever seen.
Well, that's the title. Actually, it's an easy DIY bed.
It should be the easiest. I've needed to build a bed for a long time. And I watched that video going, oh, I can totally do this.
Yeah. Well, that is my best video. And I thought it would probably do well. Beds usually do well. And especially right. beds that people feel like they can build. That the video has done extremely well, you know, head and shoulders above anything else I've done. And the plans sell like crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
People. Yeah, I love it. I mean, just today, somebody from India bought them.
That's fantastic.
It makes me so happy. And that was born out of my need for a bed. I had I still have a guest room. And our good friend Alma Villalobos was coming to visit with her family. And I was like, oh man, we have a guest room that we'd never really done anything with. I had a mattress on the floor and I was like, I can't have people visit us with a mattress on the floor. I need to build a bed. And so I looked at some designs and I was like, you know, something that would be easy yet I liked. And I kind of went in that direction and I was like, I can do this. And I wanted it to be something that I could take apart because at the time we were living in a two-story house and that was on the second floor. I needed to get it out the door when we moved. And so anyway, it's awesome. It's a great build and I'm glad to hear you like it.
No,
there's a clear sensibility to your designs. Like, and usually when somebody has your designs, like if they were all in the same house, would all make sense together.
Yeah, they all are.
right. So the question is, where does your design sensibility come from? Do you have formal training in that area, or do you just have an incredibly good eye and you're just a natural talent? Which is it? Which way can I kiss your butt, Aaron? That's really a question.
Man, we're going to be here all night. This is so fun. I have an art background. I went to school for – I went to art school with an emphasis in graphic design, but I've always – been an artist my whole life. My mom's an artist. Anything to do with creativity and art has always been my focus. And I actually never even did graphic design. I ended up becoming a professional photographer, but that's another story. But I love design more than anything. I especially love interiors and homes. And everything kind of started with me. My wife and I bought a house about 8 years ago, and we didn't have the money after buying it to, you know, outfit it with all the things we wanted. We kind of had this blank slate. And so I started figuring out how to build the things that I needed. And there's a lot more to that story. That's actually how I found the whole community, because I found everybody on YouTube, you know, doing these DIY tutorials. And I, at the time, all I had was a miter saw, and I had a drill and a miter saw, and I didn't even know, you know, how to use them. And started watching people and built a workbench in my garage just to set my tools on. And I built that out of 2x4s. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can build anything. This was so fun. And of course I couldn't, you know, but I thought it. And I think, that's the mentality.
That courage, though.
Yeah. Right. That's the mentality I want all of my viewers to have. Mm-hmm. You know, buy some inexpensive tools, invest a little bit, and then you can build a bed. That bed I built, I just spent $99 on materials.
Right.
And, you know, of course I had the tools, but the materials didn't cost much at all. And so, I've seen so many people build it now, and they've sent me pictures, and it's just people, you know, that are so amazed at themselves. And that makes me so happy. But anyway, to answer your question, I really, really, really love interior design. And I mean, you know, looking at interiors is one of my most favorite things to do. And so being able to build the things that I want, it's way more satisfying than buying them. And I can, you know, put any kind of detail on them that I may not be able to buy. And I keep it affordable and approachable. And I have a long list of things I'm still going to build just for my house.
Well, that makes me extremely happy because I can't wait to see it.
Oh, thanks, Ethan.
No, but it's funny, and I'm not surprised that you have somewhat of an artistic background, because, I mean, your builds are amazing. And as Vincent said, everything has a very, very solid through line, right? All of your designs work really well together, outside stuff and inside stuff, right?
Oh, thank you.
So I love that. But what also amazes me, and I think one of the things I love about your videos, I mean, well, let's just go back to the thumbnails. I mean, we all know that thumbnails are super important.
So important, and
I love your thumbnails. I always go back to the DIY full length, the mirror.
Oh,
right?
That's a good one. Yeah.
I don't know how, like, anyone that's ever tried to take a picture of a mirror.
Oh,
like,
God.
Not only did not have yourself in the mirror, but also have the lighting work and stuff. It's impossible. I still don't understand how you, like, got that thumbnail. And
oh,
you've
I'll
done,
tell
I
you.
Think you've had a couple. Didn't you have another mirror too? I think.
Yeah, the metal frame mirror right after it.
Yeah, I've done two mirrors. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how you did that, but it's such a great, clean thumbnail.
Thank you.
And so we talk about this a lot, that there's, you know, a maker is like many, many things, right? You're a storyteller, you're a maker, you're a designer, and you're an artist. And I think that is one of the things I love about your videos, is that it clearly encompasses all of that.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I think you're right. You have to wear many, many hats, and if you can't fulfill one of the hats, you need to find somebody that can, you know, because it takes all of them. But I'm really lucky in the fact that I have a photography background, and I'm proficient in, you know, Photoshop and all of the Adobe suite. So that kind of stuff comes easy to me. And it is very important to have a good thumbnail. So I put a lot of time into those. But
how
did
you do that, Amir? Can we just ask?
Amir, absolutely. Yeah. So
I mean, I'm asking for a friend, but
sure.
Totally for a friend.
That was a good one. So my wife worked at that time in this really awesome, so we live down in Austin and there's a million great spaces here as far as just beautiful architecture. And at that time she worked at a restaurant that just was beautiful inside. I mean, I would go in and sit at the bar and have a drink just by myself so I could just stare. I mean, for mm-hmm. real, I would just stare at things and figure out how they were made, you know, like how did they build that bar and that shelf and that booth? I mean, it was all beautiful.
So you do that too. Okay.
Oh yeah. 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 It's a problem. I'm like, why are more people not making videos on installs? Like, I want to know how they built this restaurant out, you know, this beautiful, right, like a right. beautiful, beautiful restaurant. But anyway, so I needed somewhere to shoot that mirror and I didn't really have, because it's a full length mirror and because you're getting a reflection as well, I needed to take it somewhere where, you know, the full room was something that I wanted to be seen. So we went to her restaurant. It was, one of those that was only open for dinner. And so we had use of it during the day. And so we lugged that thing up there. She was so kind to help me. And they had, I mean, like I said, it was beautiful, beautiful walls and floor and everything. So I shot it there and then I had to just kind of Photoshop out some of the stuff I didn't want to be seen just so I could leave some space for words. But, and then I just Photoshopped myself out of the reflection. I put it on a tripod. So I really only had the tripod to Photoshop out.
But, oh, okay.
That's how I did that. And then I posted a picture of that on Instagram, I think, where I left myself in, or maybe it was for that mirror or maybe it was for the other one I did, but I wanted to show that, you know, it really was me taking it. But I've had problems with that build where people don't think it's real. Like they're like, oh, this is from a magazine. And I'm like, no, maybe I shouldn't have made it look so good. This is really, and that really is a very easy build. And so, but it looks, you know, more entailed because I think the thumbnail does look really nice. So I've kind of wondered if maybe I should post some more of it where it's not quite as nice. So people
that's a super interesting thing I have never thought about too. It's like, what's that line where people feel like it's DIY or accessible versus right. commercial? I hadn't really thought about that before. That's a really good point. It's like, do you want it to be a little bit rough so that people feel like it's accessible?
Right.
I don't know. That's interesting.
A piece of day job knowledge, because I never talk about my day job here, but I'm going to give you a piece of day job knowledge that's just going to back up everything Aaron just said. So for those of you that don't know, one of the things I do, well, the main thing I do in my day job is I do product packaging design.
Oh, cool.
And one of the things that goes along with that is product photography. So we got, this is really funny. We get requests from people all the time. Can we have a picture of this particular thing from this particular angle? And it's like, yeah, sure. So I'll set up my camera on the tripod. I'll put it in the light box, get the light just right, take the picture, crop it just right, clean up any weird shadows or any lint that might be on it,
right.
and send the picture over. And they'll be like, no, we want to see the actual thing.
Yeah.
Because right. they think that we have stock photos of stuff that are like renders and stuff. They don't
right.
believe. So yeah, I could totally get where somebody would see something and not realize that that's the actual photo of the thing. Cause it doesn't look real. You know, sometimes you have to leave like a stray eyelash on something
yes.
just so somebody can go, oh, there's a hair on that. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. That's real.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, the nice thing is most of the time, I have no problem with that because there's plenty of things.
Sure.
But no, but that I am intrigued by that. It's an interesting
idea
that is DIY. Does DIY need to look DIY. Not as perfect. Right.
So
not as
perfect. Yeah. I really, really enjoy Pinterest just personally. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could spend, you know, I try and get on there every day. But for my business, I think it's really important. I mean, I get a lot of traffic from Pinterest. But I was actually just, I had about an hour before we started recording today. So I was kind of messing with it. And I need to start making, I think I've done the same thing where I've made my pins look really good. But I think I also need to also make some that are maybe, you know, show a little more instead of the finished product, maybe show a little more of me in action building it.
Right.
You know, just kind of, right. Yeah. So same kind of theory there, you know.
Oh my God, your Pinterest looks like a freaking magazine.
Yeah. I'm gonna hit you up after this because I want
to. I'd be happy to talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, because Pinterest has been one of those things that I've been thinking about.
Ethan, you would be so good on Pinterest with all of your stuff. You need to get on there. I'll give you all the secrets.
All right. We'll talk.
Okay. Yeah.
This is Aaron. This is the kind of thing you teach a Skillshare course on.
I know,
so you
seriously
can get paid for
But give it to me free first.
Right. Yeah. Ethan will be your first student. You can figure out if you're doing it right.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to. Yeah. Maybe our friend Alma is always like, oh, you need to teach a course at WorkbenchCon on like,
oh, getting 100%. Yes.
Well, she's always giving me other ideas, but that is a good idea. You know, how to do Pinterest. Cause I think it's really important. I think also a lot of males don't do it.
Very underutilized in our space. I will say.
I know that Ben Ueda and Mike Montgomery are really good at getting on there. And I think a lot of other people really should be, because I mean, you know, people like, you know, like I said, it's a big traffic driver for me, especially, oh my gosh, especially that bed. I mean, people have repinned that, I think, God, hundreds of thousands of times. That one is my big one. You know, people get on there looking for ideas and, you know, it's kind of like my same story of, you know, 8 years ago, they buy a house and they're looking to outfit it. And, but for you, Ethan, all of that leather stuff, that would be so great. And then Vincent, I don't know if you're on it, but that would be the same thing with all your jewelry.
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is something that I actually have a Pinterest account. It's one of those, eventually I'll get around to it, but I'm looking at yours. I'm like, you can do some pretty cool stuff with Pinterest. Maybe I need to,
I look at Pinterest all the time, and I've been completely forthcoming where I've gotten a lot of ideas for like leather working projects and stuff from Pinterest.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm not gonna deny that at all, but I've never posted or done anything.
Oh my gosh. You need to, because you'll get so much traffic, and then people will really start following you. There's so much leather stuff on there.
Yeah.
And people looking for ideas, and your stuff is like mine. Like, you know, you can do it. People can do it. You know, they
it's
just
accessible.
Need visit Tandy and get some supplies. And I mean, I love leather stuff. I took a leather class a few years ago and I just fell in love with it. But I just haven't gotten around to building it. I have a lot of ideas, but I also want to do a collab with you eventually.
Oh yeah. We're definitely going to do that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Cool.
I think the other thing too, with Pinterest too, is that, I mean, if I look at my stats on YouTube, you know, in terms of audience and stuff like that, I'm probably 95% male. And I don't know this for sure, but I think Pinterest might have, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I might be able to engage, you know, the female population a little bit more on Pinterest.
Strangely, there are a lot of males on Pinterest, but I'm fairly positive, like you are, it's probably primarily female, but there are a ton.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not a one or you know, this or that, but
the scale is widely tipped in the female direction on Pinterest.
Sure,
it absolutely is. It's in fact, the only people I know that have ever told me they've done anything on Pinterest were women. So it kind of makes sense. It's just one of those things. It's like, you know, Reddit is mostly dudes, you know, it's just kind of the way that certain platforms shake out, that people find their way to certain platforms. But
well, females, you know, oh man, they'll pin those boards up and then, you know, either make the project themselves or rattle their husbands to build it for them.
I think that goes to the way women do think differently. Women are more visual than men are.
Think? I hadn't really thought. I'm definitely visual.
I'm pretty sure that, and I could be talking completely out my butt right now, and you know that wouldn't be anything new for me. But from what I understand, women tend to be more visual than men, and men tend to be more like, men will sit there and read a wall of text, and right. women will actually
pictures.
Love beautiful pictures.
Yeah,
it's just a difference in the way people perceive information. I could be completely wrong. It could be something I heard from some ass many years ago who did not know what they were talking about. But it does kind of stand to reason when you look at Pinterest and its success, because Pinterest is super visual.
It's so visual, yeah.
I'm just looking through your stuff, and it's
That's so nice. Well, yeah. I love it because I can collect my thoughts. You know, I mean, I have boards to share, and then I also have private boards where I will just kind of keep inspiration stuff for mm-hmm. future builds or whatever. But oh man, I love it so much.
I'm just gonna say, you have to do, whenever WorkbenchCon comes back, I 100% support. Agree with Alma that you have to teach a class on Pinterest. I think that'd be amazing. Or on anything, on design or on thumbnails. Well, I mean, again, even on thumbnails, like,
and design, right? I was just gonna say on design, right? And this is, so what you've managed to pull off with your builds is simple without simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your stuff is amazingly not just approachable, because approachable, anything can be approachable with enough experience, right? But your stuff is not like, there's no weird complexities to it. It's very clean, very modern, and something that if I looked at it, if without your plans or without your instructions, I can kind of reverse engineer what you've done. But then I watch your videos and there's always a nugget. And right. I'll give you a perfect example of the nugget, right? The nugget of how you cut the dowels for the MacBook dock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was like, mm-hmm. this is brilliant. So
yeah.
For those of you that haven't seen the video, she took a really big dowel to make a dock for her MacBook, and she cut it into pieces and attached squares to the end of the dowel to make it easier to cut. Now, I swear to you, you were like, when in the video you go, I had to figure out a way to cut the dowels. I'm like, I have no idea. I see you take these two squares. I'm like, okay, what the hell is she doing? and afterwards, I was like, oh, that is absolute genius.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. It took me a while to figure that out, because I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to cut this dowel in half. Wait a minute. How am I going to do that? Yeah, like, how am I going to do that?
Don't you love that moment, though? Don't you love that moment where you're like, how am I going to do this? And then you're like, oh, yes, right. That's how I'm going to do it. Yeah.
Right. How many times have you finished a project and just gone, oh, wow, that worked?
Oh, every time. Every time I'm amazed.
How many videos have I made?
Yeah, exactly. Every time I'm amazed. I mean, it makes me sad that more people don't have jobs that they love, you know, but doing this mm-hmm. is just makes me so happy. Like, I love all of it. I love the brainstorming of the build. I love the build. I love the editing. I love the social media. I love meeting people like you guys. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, and trying to figure it out, you know, like figuring out how to cut that dowel. I mean, I'm about to do it again. I have another build that I'm going to do in the next week or two where I'm going to have to cut like 25 of them. And so now that I know what to do, you know, at the time I didn't have a bandsaw. I guess I could use that, but you're not going to get as clean.
No.
Yeah. You're not going to get that solid.
I would not do that with a bandsaw. I think the way you did that is probably about the only realistic way to
really?
Do it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Because you're going to get so much backlash that you're going to have to clean up on the blade.
I mean,
as good as my bandsaw is, there are times like if I make a long enough cut, it's like, oh man, this is a mess.
Yeah. 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 And I definitely wanted it to be straight. That was one of those really cool things where I was just like, you had to figure it out. I had to figure out how to put some weight on it. So I put the metal on the bottom, which it was so cool. I love working with metal. And I mean, anybody can do it. You buy a Ryobi ankle grinder and you can cut mm-hmm. metal, you know?
Right.
And then I was like, wait, I need something to make this so it doesn't scratch my MacBook. Okay. One trip to Michael's and I had some felt. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. I'm using it. I use it every single day. I mean, it docks my MacBook and I use a big monitor. I'm looking at it right now. I love that build, but everything I've built is just something that I've needed. And
which I
love. Yeah. It's so satisfying.
Do you have like, I have two questions and they're kind of connected. aside from Pinterest, which we know you love and you're very good at, and it's making us both look really bad. But aside from Pinterest, do you have like, how do you come up with your ideas? And then how do you organize them? Like, do you have like a notebook of ideas where you're like, this is my next project, this is my next project, this is my next project? Or is it just you're sitting on the couch one day and you look at something and go, I hate that, I'm building that?
Well, I have a list, a running list. And I mean, and some things I've had on there for a few years, I just haven't, you know, it just hasn't come to the top yet. So things are just kind of waiting for their turn, you know? but then just, so my wife and I just bought a house last week and we just closed on it last Friday. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
And now you can move the pool.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. And thank goodness it's movable, right? We sold a house exactly a year ago and then we rented a house for 1 year because we weren't sure what area we wanted to buy in next. Mm-hmm. And so we rented a house. Well, we actually convinced the landlord to sell us the house we were renting. So I don't have to move the pool. Thank goodness.
Oh, there you go.
That is awesome.
Yeah. But I built the pool not knowing yet if that was going to work out, if the purchase was going to work. So we had to do a little convincing. We had to convince him to sell. So I built the pool so it's totally movable. But yeah, thank goodness we're here now. So everything that I have put in place in this house can just stay. But we were just talking on, I guess it was Saturday night. We were just kind of looking around going, okay, you know, we have so many plans for renovations for this house, which I'm really excited about. I'm going to have a lot more renovation content going forward.
Awesome.
But that was one of those times where my wife Hannah said to me, well, what about that little corner over there? Wouldn't it be so cool if you did something like this? And she showed me a picture and I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. That's happening. And I don't know how soon that one will happen, but it was just, idea was born and, you know, maybe it'll happen in the next month or so, or maybe it'll be next year. But yeah, things just kind of happen when the mood strikes me or when I really, honestly, when I need them most.
Right. That's the best way though. I mean,
yeah,
because well, I find too is if there's something I actually need or like Bettina needs, you know, or something like that, I'm way more motivated to like get it done too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you ever, so seeing as you have a YouTube channel and you're active on YouTube, you're active on Instagram, you're active on Pinterest. Do you find yourself not building as much for yourself as you'd like, or is everything you build goes online as some kind of content and that's just the way you do it?
Most everything. So I've learned my lesson. I started actually kind of doing YouTube when we owned our last house. I'd built some things, but we were also doing renovations and I felt very comfortable doing the renovations myself, but I felt kind of like an imposter telling other people how to do it. Mm-hmm. And that was a big mistake. I've learned my mistake. My friend April Wilkerson always says, film everything. And she's so right. Because I mean, if you're in the game to share content, film it, because you don't have to share it. But if you decide you want to, you know, you'll be really regretful if you don't have it.
Wait, and who's April?
Right.
Never heard of her.
Just look her up. Yeah. But that happened to me. And I had some amazing renovations that I didn't have to tell people how necessarily to tile a wall. I just needed to show them what I did and show them, you know, what my design process was and how everything came out. In my mind, I was like, oh, I mean, I can tile, but who am I to tell people how to do this? But I should have done it. Vincent, I can't remember your question now. I'm sorry.
Do you find yourself not building enough for yourself because you're making everything into content, or do you take time to just build stuff for yourself and no one ever gets to see it?
That happens sometimes. Most of the time I film everything just, you know, like I said, just to make sure I have it. I built that stock tank pool, but I didn't film the little deck I built around it. And that was a big mistake. It was another thing where I was like, I've never built a deck. I don't know if I'm doing it correctly. I'm just going to do this for me. On one hand, it was really fun to not film it and just enjoy building, which I love. But on the other hand, I really wish I would have filmed it. I ran it past my guru, April, who I just mentioned. And, you know, she obviously has built many decks in her day. And she was like, yeah, you did it right. And I was like, great. I should have filmed it.
See, I 100%, I would have loved for you to have filmed that because I totally agree. But I also think there's something to be said there where sometimes I think it's important to just build to build.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, and not
for you. Yeah.
Right. Like I think there's sometimes that's just important to just make something without worrying about is it going to do well on YouTube or is
Absolutely.
It going to whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, we actually have a strange kind of small bedroom next to our primary bedroom in this house that is tiny. It would be really good for an office, but it's not where my office is. And we have plans to turn it into a walk-in closet. Mm-hmm. So one of my future builds is going to be a big renovation where I actually make that, turn it into it's not going to be a bedroom anymore. It's just going to become a big closet with built-ins and great lighting. And it's going to be really cool.
Awesome.
But because we were renting the house this last year, we used it as a closet, but I couldn't actually, you know, do any construction in it.
Right.
And so I built kind of some built-in shelves without being built in, you know, and it's floor to ceiling shelves and clothes racks that are, you know, very sturdy and there to stay if you wanted it, but also could be moved if we weren't able to buy this house. And I didn't ever share that or film it just because it was just something I just wanted to do for us. And it was so satisfying and so fun. But I don't know. I mean, it probably would have done well, but yeah. But it was also just kind of a funny, quirky little thing.
Right. And again, I think there's a time and a place for both of those things. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it is a shame when you build something and you look back and you're like, oh, that would have done great.
Such a shame,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also really refreshing to not like, what was I doing this weekend? I was doing something this weekend. And I had already made it. So I was making another. So I have to make another holster for the grill gun for the owner of the company. And I was wet forming it. And it was so nice to not have to worry about where the camera was.
Yes.
You know, I was just making it and it cut down on the time and whatever. So so there is something to be said just to get in your shop sometime.
That is something we hear a lot on this show where people be like, yeah, I just want to make something and just repositioning the camera 50,000 times, starting and stopping. It's just like, eventually it's just like, I just don't have the patience for this. I just want to get it done right now. Yep. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And I think that's okay though. But that's an okay thing to do. Right.
Sure.
I think that's actually an important thing to do as a maker because otherwise you get burnt out. I think so too.
Yeah, I think so too.
Cool. We're going to take a quick break. We'll hit our sponsors and we will be right back. Awesome. If your home is feeling a little bit drab and uninspired, maybe it just needs a touch of art. Creative Ward Gallery is run by friend of the show, Marion Ward, who does Bob Ross inspired landscapes in acrylic and oil. And we'll even do custom commissions to suit your mood or decor. Check her out at instagram.com/creativewardgallery. And if you mention you heard about her on Because We Make, she'll ship your piece for free in the United States. What are you waiting for? Dress up your home today. So one of the things that is one of my favorite things. So I confessed to Erin before we started that I was, you know, I like to go back and refresh my memory. Sometimes it's really fill in gaps because I've missed videos over time or whatever. And I went back today and I was, you know, today and yesterday, I was rewatching some of her videos. And one of the things that I noticed, and this is, you know, this is one of those skills that I feel like a lot of YouTubers really desperately need to learn, is the art of condensing down a lot of information into a very small package and not sacrificing information for brevity. And mm-hmm. one of the great things about your videos, there is not a video on your channel longer than 10 minutes.
Well, and yeah, that's
a miracle.
It surprises me sometimes. I try to keep them moving pretty fast. I think it's important to not lose interest. And it's really important to me to get the, you know, the information and the instructions and the entertainment across, but also not make them bored. So sometimes, you know, I get to the end of the edit and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was really pretty short. So maybe I should have made it a little bit longer. So I'll have to work on that. But like I said, it's important to me that they, you know, they came to see the build and, you know, people have valuable time and, you know,
well, that is a thing now, right? It's like a lot of people, there's a lot of fluff in videos now. There's a lot. Like in general, there's accepted stuff. And this isn't a critique of people's styles, but there are certain things that are fluff that have just become the norm. You know, the pre-roll, the pre-credit intro.
Yeah.
And then and that's normal. I mean, that's not weird. It's just, it's a thing. But then, you know, the constant invocation of like, comment, subscribe, share, ring the bell, follow me. Okay.
Right.
Get it. You know, it's like, you know, I understand why people do it. I'm not saying don't do it, but it's just like, there's just
it's
so
nice.
Much.
Right.
It's nice when you watch a video and it's just like, hey, today I made a lounge chair out of some stuff you can buy at the home center. And it's a 9-minute video and it's, you go right into it and you get right to the build and you're doing the thing. And, you know, there's voiceover as needed, not just because you don't want to have any dead air.
Right.
And then it's done. Here's the beauty shots. If you want to follow me, here's some cards. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, you just, your edits are just so, they're just wound into a fine, tight ball. And I admire the hell out of you being able to do that.
Thank you.
And just like everything else that we've talked about, your thumbnails, your whatever, they're super clean. It's a very clean edit. It's succinct. It's you're not missing anything, but you're not, you know, putting extraneous things in it. It's a very clean edit. And that, I think that's really, really nice. So.
Oh, thank you, Ethan. Well, I watch a lot of YouTube and I see, you know, a lot of times where people, you know, they're, you know, like people don't want to watch you sand, you know? I mean, like we all know how to sand.
Right.
I'm not there to watch you sand, you know? And then
yourself. I have a major sand in the place.
Except for Vincent. I forgot. Yeah. But, and I think there's also a place for pre-roll. You know, a lot of people have that intro thing and there is mm-hmm. nothing wrong with it. I think it's cool. I've thought about doing the same thing. Personally, the only time I think it's a problem is when it runs too long. You know, people are like, you know, especially when they're new to your channel, a pre-roll is a good way to kind of give them a feel. But, you know, keep it short. You know, they can watch other videos to also see what you do. But, you know, if I'm watching videos and people are just moving too slow, they lose me. I'm out. And that's exactly what I don't want to happen on my channel. So I keep it moving.
Well, I actually think that Bob of, you know,
Bob Plaggett. Yeah.
Yeah. His intros are like, I like his intros because he does exactly that. He introduces himself and the build in a really, really concise way.
Absolutely.
And then gets into it. He doesn't prolong it. He doesn't explain the build. So I think there's a way you can do it where you can have that intro, but not turn people off.
Absolutely.
But it's a super fine line. It's a really,
it really
super fine
is.
Line.
Yeah. I worry because sometimes there are some things that I could probably explain a little more and I start to think, oh, I don't know. I mean, for me, if I am interested in the maker or if I'm interested in the project, then I want to hear what they have to say, but not everybody is. So, you know, a little more long-winded at the end is sometimes okay, I think, just mm-hmm. because by then people, if they want to stay around, they can. If not, they've gotten their, you know, their information, but
they didn't make it through. Most of them won't make it through. If they don't want to stay, they're not going to make it through the beauty shots at the end. So it really doesn't matter. So if you're going to talk a little bit, then that's just, you know, they'll just switch on to the next. That's a good point. I never thought of it that way.
I also think, and I could be wrong, but I also think it also is kind of the project too. Like I find that if there's a project that I'm problem solving throughout the process, then it might be okay to pop in every so often and be like, here's sure. what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah,
Like, I'm trying to figure this out and I don't know exactly what it is, but here's what I'm thinking. There's a time, there's like a place for that. Whereas other videos where there's, you know, there's no problem solving necessary. I'm just doing this start to finish. There's no reason for me to come into the video and, you know, just talk for a while, right?
Right. So. Yeah, just I try to keep it necessary. And if it's necessary right. to explain something, then, you know, then it's necessary. But
right.
But if it's not, you know, if it's just fluff, I try to keep that out just because, like I said, I don't want to lose people. And you guys know from having your own channels that you can see the drop off in the analytics. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. You want to kind of try to keep people around. If you see they're you're losing them, you know, I've listened to people who, you know, talk about how to do it. And I mean, I think a good one is Brad Rodriguez's podcast, the Made for Profit podcast. They, you know, that's one of my favorite things about that podcast is that they talk about this kind of stuff, you know, and the, you know, look at the analytics and see if people are leaving and look back to that timestamp and see what was it, you know, like what happened that made them decide they needed to go spend their time elsewhere. So
I need to make 2-minute videos then. So
2 minutes? Is that
Jesus
yeah, Christ. I think, you know, I think that's pretty standard. You know?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. It's interesting, but you know,
people are fickle, right?
Yeah.
So, and the other thing, like, you know, Ethan and I were joking a couple of weeks ago because the video he did was the, which one was it? Was the one,
oh, the one that blew up?
One, yeah.
The plant stand.
The plant
silly,
stand, right?
Silly
stand. Oh, yeah.
Like, so right before we did that the episode, mm-hmm. before he dropped it, he's like, yeah, this is not going to do that great. I just wanted to do it. And then it ends up becoming his most watched video.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You really can't predict what's going to get attention, what people are going to. I feel like a lot of time is spent on things that are not important.
True.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, like
I'm learning that more and more, Vincent.
Same.
45 minutes spent debating with a bunch of people about what your thumbnail should be right. when your video is probably about 4 minutes too long. You know,
right.
it's like
right.
cut yep. the video. That's what you should be
that's
doing.
That's what right. you should be doing. Yeah.
Tighter edits. That's where the true meat is, right? Tighter right. edits, less talky-talky, less yeah. unnecessary talking, you know. I think David Picciuto on Making It said it either last week or the week before. He's like, when I'm sanding, you know, I don't need to show you all 7 minutes of me sanding something.
Yeah.
I could sand for like 4 seconds and you understand that I sand the whole thing.
Right. That's me. That's exactly the way I feel.
I think it's also understanding what the project is too, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's times when the project dictates that you need to explain a little bit more of this, right? But there's other projects where that's a given, right? Same yeah. thing. It's like sanding is a given, right? So right. you don't need to spend that much time. But so I don't know. I think you also have to be really self-aware about what the what you're trying to show people in that project. What are you trying to convey? And is it the build? Is it the design? Is it the technique? Like what are you trying to show the people that are watching the video?
The yeah. platform bed could have been a 42-minute video.
It could right. have been, yeah.
It could
For
have
sure.
been, right?
For
because
sure.
you could have shown every slat yeah. getting screwed mm-hmm. down, why you needed to put a center support, how to put pocket holes. And at some right. point, it would just be like, this is the worst video ever. Like, why would anyone – no one's going to watch this.
Well, and but instead – I'm sorry. Jessica, go ahead. No, you go
no,
ahead.
No. It's fine. It's good. Go.
So sorry. I interrupted you. I was thinking in that vein, there's something to be said about too much information. You know,
right.
it's
sure.
overwhelming. I actually found some plans recently that I thought were really interesting and I bought them and I was amazed at how
thorough.
Way too thorough. I mean, I was just like yeah. in overload and I know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like
right,
I know
right.
everything he was talking about was familiar to me. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can hardly keep my attention on it because it's just so detailed. I mean, it's just like, there's a point where you have to assume. And like I said, my builds are very easy. So there's a point where you have to assume, okay, I'm going to show you, I use pocket holes here. I'm not going to show you how to use the pocket hole jig, even though I'm kind of talking to the people that are going to be pocket holders. But I'm just going to have to assume, you know, and that's how I was when I first learned. I saw somebody using a pocket hole jig and I was like, what the heck is that thing? Instead of being like, well, I can't make it. I instead went to YouTube and I was like, how to use the pocket hole jig in the search field. And then I found a bazillion videos. And within 5 minutes, I learned what that was and how to use it. You know, well, so
that's a fantastic point, actually, because people will sit on YouTube and go, well, they're using a tool I don't know how to use. I don't know where I'm going to ever find information on that. So I'm just going to stop. It. Well,
yeah. It's,
if only there was a place with videos that could teach you things. If
exactly.
Only. You're watching a video on YouTube. If you don't know how to do something, you could probably watch another video on YouTube.
Yeah,
and
that's
get all the information.
Exactly. Well, also, that's how you do it. That's how mortise and tenons. I didn't know somebody, I was watching somebody build something years ago and they were like, okay, and then here I used a mortise and tenon. And I was like, what's that? So I just went and figured it out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I did butcher block countertops a few years ago and I lost my footage. I did a backsplash and the video wasn't about the backsplash, but I was just going to kind of show a quick little time lapse of me putting the backsplash up. But I lost that footage. And so in the video, I just say, you know, I lost the footage, but just search in YouTube. That's how I did. That's how I learned. If you want to know how to do the backsplash, then search, you know, DIY backsplash and you'll figure that part out.
Well, I think that there's also something, and I've been thinking about this more. And again, I don't know if I'm doing it well or not, but like, especially this last video, I do a lot of the same things throughout the process. There are different stages of it, and you don't have to explain it every time,
exactly.
Right? Like, you explain it once, and then you say, and I'm doing it the same way, or you don't even say that. You just, you know, you're just do it. And like people are smart enough to understand, well, hopefully understand that I'm doing the same, you're doing the same thing that you explained earlier. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you have to, I think you just have to assume that to keep the video pace, you know, I mean, you can't help, you know, that some, you know, you just can't help that some people aren't, you know, going to get it.
Exactly.
I've done some dados in a few projects and that's something that I don't think my audience would probably know what that was. So I take the time to explain it, you know, and then you could also, once you build up a video, catalog, you can also be like, I'm gonna throw a card here in the corner and you can watch that one if you'd like to know more about what this is. And that
that's the best thing I've ever done is I made a leather stitching video.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's been, I can't tell you how refreshing it's been to just be, when I'm doing my voiceovers, just being like, and if you want to know more details, I made a whole video about
You've
this.
You've made it. You have arrived, Ethan. You have done
it's
it.
So much,
that's
it's
awesome.
So nice, though. It's so much nicer than trying to explain it in every video. So.
Yes.
I love when you take out, like, you're one of the things I love in the, I think it was the medicine cabinet video where you were doing the dados in the sides. And you're like, I'm going to do some dados. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I would take out my table saw, put the dado stack in and do it. And you're like, and you take out your circular saw. And I'm like, you know, I can feel the hairs on my neck raise a little bit because I'm like, but I understand. I really do. I started to understand why you did that. Right.
Right.
I know your saw could do dados. I mean, of course it can. But that's not your thing because I'm starting to see it more and more often, and maybe it's just because I'm just becoming more aware because I've talked to more people about, you know, the content and their schedule and how they make stuff. A lot of makers will say, you know, for example, a very good example of this is people that have a CNC. They'll set up the CNC and they'll cut something and they'll go, I'm using the CNC, but you could totally do this with a jigsaw.
Right.
Okay, let's go back to the CNC and watch it cut the rest of the thing. It's like, okay, all right, cool, you know, but would have been nice to show you doing it with the jigsaw, you know,
right,
it's like,
yeah.
And I feel like, you know, you said something earlier about you don't want to lose your audience. And I always feel like I get why they do that. It's like, yeah, I'm doing this with the CNC. I'm giving you the alternative. I think that's cool. But I also think it's cool the way you actually use normal tools. Like it's, you're not telling people that the normal tools are an alternative to something. You're telling them, hey, I make it with normal tools. Look, here's how you do it.
Right. Yeah. And like you said, I could have thrown a dado stack in, but
of course,
like most people don't have that, you know? And I was as dangerous as that Ryobi table saw was, it was also cool that most people could pick it up for $160 at Home Depot, you know?
Oh yeah.
Right.
It just makes me a little nervous that people don't know how to use it, you know, pick it up weapon, learn how to use it, and then safely use it, please. But but yeah, I that's important to me. And, you know, it's inevitable. I think we kind of touched on this earlier that, you know, bigger and better tools will come my mm-hmm. way. You know, I see myself in the future having a CNC at some point. And I am so in love with that origin shaper right. origin, I should say. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. People have been telling me, oh, you need one. I'm like, nah, I don't need one. And then I finally really kind of looked at all it could do. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need this. But that, but that's like a, you know, it doesn't really fall in with my, my well, theme, but,
yeah,
and that's what I was going to ask
five,
you.
So, right. When I had Steve Ramsey on at the beginning, when I first started this show, I asked him, I said, are you into like, you know, digital fabrication at all? Like lasers and CNCs and 3D printers.
Which is completely not his.
Right. And audience. That's exactly yeah. what he said. He said, right. he goes, am I into it? Of course I'm into it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's amazing. It's super interesting. He said, but my audience doesn't come to me for that. And right. it would be completely off brand for me to start doing digital fabrication
See,
on the weekend
hard.
Woodworker.
Right. But that's hard. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's a, you know, a hard battle to deal with. Like if
it
you
is.
Want to do it,
yeah.
right?
I
mean,
think,
I understand what he's saying.
Sure. And I see. I totally understand what he's saying because he is. Yeah. He is the weekend woodworker. I think, you know, eventually I'll just kind of naturally maybe integrate it a little here and there. But still, I think it's fine if you throw in like every, you know, 10th or 15th video is like, well, here's something I made on the CNC. But if your mission is to keep the channel a weekend woodworker kind of thing, you know, there's nothing wrong with throwing something in here and there that may not appeal to everybody as long as you keep the theme a certain way. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to do. I don't want to turn into a channel that is, you know, just all high, powerful, amazing tools that most people can't purchase or have room for. As much as I love them and respect them and think it's so cool that people are doing that. But I also think it's inevitable that I won't run into having some of those things. I have a real good friend here in Austin that's part of the maker community. His name is Patrick Clancy. He goes by PC Makes. Mm-hmm. He actually doesn't produce any content. He just does stuff on Instagram. He's got a day job and doesn't intend on changing that. He just has a really big love of, you know, woodworking and likes to share his stuff. But he has all sorts of fun tools and toys. And as he upgrades, he always gives me his hand-me-downs. And so he recently upgraded his bandsaw and he has this amazing, his now old bandsaw is a 14-inch bandsaw, which I never imagined having. And he's like, hey, you know, now it could be yours, you know, because he doesn't have anywhere for it. So I'll probably trade him some photography for that. But because of the, you know, circumstance, I'm going to end up with a bigger bandsaw than I thought I would have. So, you know, those kind of things just happen and I'm not going to say no.
Right. You shouldn't well, be ashamed no. of having a awesome tool. Like yeah, that's the other thing. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I'll still keep it, you know, to where people, you know, I like I said, it's really important. And my, like my bed video, it's done so well because so many people can do it, you know?
Right. Right.
And that's where I want to be.
It's interesting that I think that's something that a lot of channels, you know, I know that that makers have, you know, maybe an internal mission where they have a general purpose, but it does seem like you want to stay true to your brand, right?
Totally.
I hate using the word brand when I talk to people about their you know, their missions and their ethics. And
I'm good with it. I'm good with it.
It is really your brand, right?
Yeah,
your brand,
absolutely.
Your brand is... You know, I wrote a whole thing on my blog, what was it, 2 weeks ago, about what a brand actually is, right? And people don't actually understand what a brand is. A brand isn't, you know, your marketing, your sales, your colors, and your logo. Your brand is your unique value proposition.
Totally.
What sets you apart from other people?
Right.
Absolutely.
And even
it
if it's just...
It can be your product. It can be your personality. It can be...
It's all of it.
Right,
yeah.
All of it.
And what people don't understand is that, you know, to stay true to your brand isn't just to make stuff that always like looks good, right?
Right.
Sometimes staying true to your brand, if your unique value proposition is I'm going to teach you how to make modern furniture or modern home fixtures that look good, that are approachable with easy tools, then that's your brand.
Right. Yeah, that's and me. That's Maker Gray. Yeah.
And when you start pulling in like, oh, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna bring out this, you know, 3-horsepower saw stop. Now, is it a table saw in the end? Yes, it's just a table saw, right? But that's off brand. It is off brand. And it sucks that your brand sometimes confines you.
Sure.
But when you stay true to that brand, all you're doing when you stay true to your brand is you're strengthening that brand. And that brand, yeah, it may become more confining the stronger it gets, but the stronger it gets, the more relatable it becomes.
Absolutely.
And what you notice is that the people that do well on YouTube and on Instagram and in social media in general are the ones who know what their goal is and stick to it like glue. That doesn't mean you never deviate or add, but it does mean that your core competency, like, you know, Aaron, again, if you were to get a Shaper Origin, I don't think anyone would go, oh, that's it, she lost me.
Because I would
unsubscribe.
But if you suddenly got sponsored by Festool or Powermatic, and you go from a garage shop to a 10,000 foot warehouse, like, you know, people would start going, oh, okay, I get it.
Totally different audience. Yeah.
Exactly. And you know, that might be a transition, right?
Sure. Yeah. If I wanted to.
But yeah, you have to do a transition. You're right, Vincent. Like, it wouldn't be the same audience.
Yeah. That's a decision. And that is a decision you have to make.
Right.
And if you do make that, just look, Evan and Caitlin, I always use them because they are the best example of this on the internet. Go back 3 years ago, four years ago, and watch an Evan and Caitlin video. And then watch a recent Evan and Caitlin.
It's not even the same thing. I think it's like 2.5 years ago, man.
Right. Yeah. They really did do a good job of transitioning into exactly the brand they wanted to be. They were kind of dabbling all around, and I totally know what you mean. And now they're just like very much doing it. And I think that's why they've really exploded, because they're like being true to exactly what they want to build, and they're doing it so well. They're a great example.
And I'll be honest. I mean, I watch less of their stuff now. I do.
That it just may not be for you. Yeah,
exactly. And that's okay. I'm a more of the kind of builder maker kind of thing.
Right. Same.
But that's not a thing that, like, that's nothing against their brand, because I think they're doing the right thing for them. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
I learned so much from watching their videos. And when they stopped really doing build and project videos, I was a little disappointed. I was like, all right, but I like them.
Right.
So maybe this won't be too bad. Like, maybe. And now what I find is, okay, maybe I don't get the build and project videos that I loved from them, but I get 25 minutes every Friday of pretty solid entertainment.
Right.
Right. So it, you, like, you, okay. shifted what you expected from them.
I went along for the ride. I think one of the things that they did better than almost anyone that I follow is they made a connection with their audience to the point where you were watching because you liked them. And that's a really hard thing to do.
Right.
Like
right.
a lot of makers, people don't watch makers because they like the maker. They watch the makers because they like the projects.
But that is a goal, right? You know, to like put enough of yourself out there, enough of your personality out there that people are like, you know, they want to be there also just because they like you so much.
I've talked about that, Vincent. I'm not saying that this is the case, but the first year I went to WorkbenchCon, no one knew who I was, like, when they met me, but they knew my logo. Right.
And that's a good thing.
But that was a eye-opening moment for me, where I was like, I need to put my personality into it more. And I grew so much faster when I actually inserted my personality. And again, it's just one of those things that people want to know the person, right? They want to know the person behind the account, the channel, or whatever. But it's a hard thing to navigate.
It's a hard thing to start. And I think it gets easier. But absolutely. It really is so true. You put more of yourself out there, you're going to grow faster. People are going to relate to you. And then, my wife, Hannah, used to joke with me. Before I got into making, I was a full-time photographer, and I had a ton of photographers that I admired that I didn't know personally, but I followed on Instagram and other social media. And then I would even listen to them on podcasts, and, you know, I would talk about them and, you know, say different things that I'd learned from them or whatever. And Hannah would she would joke with me. She would say, "Oh, you're talking about your friends," and she would put it in air quotes, like, you know, your friends. And she was just, just messing with me. But it's true, because I would, you know, I felt like I knew them. They didn't have any idea who I was. But it made me like them and want to know more about them even more, you know? So same with the making community. You know, the more you put of yourself out there, not only are they going to be there for the builds, but they're going to be there just to see what's up with you.
Well, and I've always said about podcasts too, and I think this is why, like, I think the Modern Maker podcast, the Making It podcast, all the podcasts that we all listen to now, it humanizes the people behind the videos and stuff.
Absolutely.
Like that. And makes us feel like we know them as friends or as people, you know, maybe not even as friends, but we know them as people now.
Yeah.
And it connects us way more to them. And I know that from my own personal experience, like, I feel way more connected to all of those, you know, the six guys of the two podcasts that I've mentioned than I ever would have felt just watching YouTube videos.
Oh, absolutely. It's a wonderful thing. They're some of my favorite podcasts. And, you know, I love that, because I like to just hear them talk. And even if it's not about making, you know, just about life or whatever's going on.
It makes them human, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and that's how it makes me and Vincent sound. We sound like humans. So.
Yes.
Yeah, and I really need all the help I can sound like a human sometimes. Like, it's just really impossible for me to relate to actual living, breathing, intelligent beings. Why don't we hit up the video of the week? Because this is one that I got to tell you, I've said it on this podcast many times, and we are picking them again as video of the week just because we have to, because
it's so good.
Oh,
We've done it and we have to do it again. So.
I'm just putting it out there. I hope they're listening. I think they do listen. I'm pretty sure at least one of them listens.
Everyone that is listening to this, DM them and
I should just DM them and just go, okay, look, can we please have you on the show, please? Okay, so everyone that listens to the show knows I've talked about them a million times. One of my favorite maker duos, I guess we could call them, is Nerdforge. And yet again, Martina pulls off pure magic.
It looks like magic too.
It is magic, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It's
right?
An infinite mirror. It's she did another book nook, and you're like, oh God, and not again. Yeah, I know. I get it. I understand, right? It's a book
Worth
nook.
It.
Everyone's doing book nooks now. This is not a normal book nook. This is not normal. She did the amount of detail that went into it. She basically made an infinite library. So as you open these two doors and you look down this quote hallway, you just see an endless library into infinity. And it is the craziest effect you've ever seen with her normal level of insane detail. It's just magnificent.
The detail is amazing.
Every book in the miniature bookshelves is individually painted and then put on the shelf. Like,
I'm
that's
still
the
blown
level
away by that. Yeah.
I don't want to blow you up, Aaron, but you had not seen this before we
No,
got on,
I hadn't.
Right?
You guys turned me on. Yeah.
And right. I mean, it's incredible the amount of detail that goes into it.
Absolutely. I highly respect that. I mean, it's so cool. I don't even have words. Like, it takes so much time, and I love it. I absolutely love that anybody would invest that much detail into one project. It's very cool.
So if any of you have been to Disney World and you've been to the Haunted Mansion, you know what Pepper's Ghost is. Pepper's Ghost is this effect where there's a piece of glass and images are projected on the glass to give them this ethereal ghostly quality. And she did that effect to light up the quote torches in this library.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so her phone is actually stuck in the side,
what?
Projecting those two flames on
Shut
the torches.
Up.
It's just, it's so over the top,
it
and
is.
It's so typical of what she does when she makes a video. And I just love, I love their stuff so much because I don't, and this is the crazy thing, and this is a confession that's going to sound really weird in context, but I don't like fantasy stuff. Like, I'm not into dragons and castles and fairies and all that stuff. And yet every one of their videos, I just can't wait to just plop in front of the TV. Like, when theirs comes, I get a notification that there's a new Nerdforge video. I'm immediately in front of my TV to watch it because I know it's going to be freaking amazing. And
that's
they
the
never,
highest compliment.
Ever, it, you know, I feel like if you're a YouTuber, you want a lot of people that are just going to drop everything to watch your latest. And
yes.
I do it with them 100% of the time. I've been doing it with them since the beginning.
Highest compliment. And, that's great.
Oh, they're great. And if you're not following them already, you're really missing out. So the video is called Making an Infinite Library Inside My Bookshelf. We'll obviously have the link in the show notes, but just clear, easy, obvious video of the week winner for us this week.
Amazing.
It was just too damn good. So that's our choice for video of the week. And Martina and Hansi, if you're listening, hit me up, babes.
Drop in the DMs.
Yeah.
Slide into my DMs.
Yeah, slide
in.
You know, I'm going to tell you, know what my biggest excitement moment? I'm not going to lie. My biggest excitement. I mean, when Jimmy started following me on Instagram, I'm not going to lie.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
I can't even get him to like...
Yeah, we've tagged him in comments on Ethan's post. He doesn't even respond, which is really funny.
You're not
but...
the first person I've heard that about Ethan. Like, it's, and you know he would. He's such
no,
a nice
and,
guy.
Oh, exactly. No, it's nothing against Jimmy at all.
Yeah.
It's my Jimmy curse. It's a
yeah,
it's a Jimmy curse.
I think you're just in that loophole where he just mm-hmm. hasn't seen you yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when Martina and Hansi started following me on Instagram, I giggled like a little schoolgirl. Like, I was so excited. I was like, oh my God.
I've so done that. And then I screenshot it and I sent it to my wife and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I totally done that.
Vincent, you are my guy now, Vincent, that I like anytime I get someone that I'm excited about.
Send it to Vincent.
I screenshot it and send it to Vincent. I'm like, this just happened. What's his name from, the Craftsman Workshop?
Aaron Legacy just started following you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
The Craftsman's Legacy on PBS.
Oh, I don't know that show.
Oh my God. It's Aaron. It's an amazing show.
I say that it's Call Me Maybe Justin's
quality.
Quality. Yeah, well, his is better. I'm going to put it out there. But it's that same kind of vibe of like a really like sentimental. Like storytelling, Craftsman.
Getcha. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so
good.
We
always jokingly say that if Justin did a show on PBS, it would be a Craftsman's Legacy.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
That would be a show. Yeah. The book, even if you don't watch the show, the book is
amazing. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. It's life changing. Like you're going to look at life a lot differently after that book. It's one of those. I feel like every maker should check out that book. It's that good.
Wow, okay.
But that was the last one. That was the last follow that I think that I sent to Vincent. I screenshot it. I was like, he just followed me. And I'm like,
yeah, big
like
deal.
A million, you know, emojis. And yeah. It's
Ethan and our conversation looks like two 16-year-old girls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like
so ridiculous.
OMG, OMG, smiley, smiley, smiley,
right.
Screenshot.
Yeah, exactly.
You can get all your points across in emojis. I'm here for it.
Really, words are just so antiquated.
Right. So hard. Words are hard.
OMG, LOL.
So, Erin, what is your thing of the week?
Oh, man. My thing of the week is one of my most favorite shows that I have been obsessed with for a while now. It's called Grand Designs. You can find it on Netflix. It is a show that is produced in the UK. And then I have found recently that they're also producing it in Australia and New Zealand. But because it's not of the States, it's a little hard to find. Thank goodness Netflix, started releasing it. excuse me, but they've only done a couple of seasons, unfortunately.
Yeah, so like 10 and 15.
Yeah, strange, right? Like where's 1 through 9 and give us the rest.
Right.
So I've spent many hours watching those. It's like what you want HGTV to be.
Yes.
100%. They don't have a formula, you know, they show the real deal. They show the failures. The people may not end up totally built at the end of the show. And anyway, I love that it has a wonderful modern slant to it, and the homes are just gorgeous. And a lot of times the homeowners are very involved in the building.
Right.
So I am just obsessed with it. Plus it just has this lovely music, beautiful videography. I'm obsessed with it. Like I was saying, you can't find many of them on Netflix. So I have recently found that some people have been uploading some of the episodes to YouTube. So that's been a real treat. You can do some searching on there and find a lot of the Australian ones, the New Zealand ones. I love the host of, I think his name is Kevin MacLeod of the UK series. There's different hosts for the different countries, but all of the episodes are just wonderful. But anyway, yeah, so that's my recommendation. If you're interested in that kind of thing, if you like HGTV shows only way better, definitely give it a look.
100%. Well, when you said that, Aaron, I've watched the show and I absolutely love it as well. And for the exact same reasons, it's an amazing show where it's exactly what you want HGTV to be, but it's not, right? It's a really, really great show about design and building.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's about that versus the, you know, the grand, you know, reveal.
Yeah. Move that bus. Yeah. I mean, I love all that stuff. And I,
so do I. I mean, there's a place for that, but
sure.
It's much more about the actual design.
Yeah.
And, so 100%. I support that.
100%. Plus the icing on the cake is just like the beautiful music and the videography, and they just do it so well. So
and British accents. I mean,
yeah. Right? Yeah.
I worked for a company owned by English people for...
Oh, really?
Yeah, and you know what? After a while, you don't hear the accent so much anymore.
Right.
And then after season of Doctor Who, it's like, you guys don't even sound that funny anymore.
Yeah.
The company I worked for that was British owned, I worked for these guys for 20 years. So initially, it was a big adjustment. After a while, it was like, oh, okay, yep, that's just how people... And you start catching yourself using phrases that are just not American English.
It happens. Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And the more immersed you get into British culture, the more you realize how different it is from American culture. It's a very strange feeling.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They have certain ways of saying things. I wish I could remember some of the ones they always call the windows, and they're putting the windows in, they call it the glazing. You know, they'll be like, oh, how much did you spend on the glazing? And it took me a minute. I'm like, what are they talking about?
And then there's
we're not making donuts.
Right? I love those donuts. Everything comes back to food for me. There's also
The boot and the bonnet.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
The hood and the trunk.
Yeah. There's another one they say, I wasn't prepared to tell you. I wish I could remember what it was. The way they say it, it's almost like, you know, it's not vitamins, but you know, they say vitamins. It's something similar to that, where it's the same word, just the way they pronounce it is different. But anyway, I love that show. I could watch
it great.
Every day.
Well, since we're talking about English people, I'm going to give my thing of the week next, because it's an English gentleman from Merseyside. And I could tell from his accent that he's a Liverpudlian. And his channel is DIY Perks, which I'm sure, I mean, he's got 2.6 million subscribers. So I'm pretty sure most of our audience, if not all of our audience, already follows him or knows about him. But he does really crazy tech repurposing videos. Like, that's his thing. Like, he repurposes things in really interesting ways.
I love it.
And he's known to, like, one time he decided he wanted his TV to look like one of those, they have like picture frame televisions that are really, really thin and up against the wall.
Yeah.
So he gutted a television and completely he made took his all own. The innards out, put them down underneath the TV in a cabinet, and then put the TV up on the wall really with a really thin bezel.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's like, so cool.
He does some insane stuff. And his most recent build is just, first of all, it's loaded with science, which is also really cool. It isn't just a 24-minute like geek fest about him building something cool. He actually built an artificial sun.
Wow.
I know that's the craziest thing I've ever said. Saying it out loud sounds completely silly, but it really is true. And he goes as far as he explains why sunlight looks different and how the light is columnar so that shadows don't change size in the sun based on how things move. They're the same general size from start to finish. And he explains why that is, the reasoning behind it. He explains why the color is never quite right when you just buy like a daylight type bulb. And he explains the blueness of the sky. And it's just
cool.
He goes into details. And then he recreates the freaking sun.
Wow.
Crazy.
This is so cool. It's, I'm so glad you turned me on to his stuff. I'm looking through his videos now. And the, like, what is this? Building an invisible monitor?
Right.
Yep. What? Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And this is that's typical of the videos he does. I mean, he had a stretch. It was really funny because he had a stretch of about 6 months or 5 months where he didn't make a video. And everybody's like, dude, are you okay? And he actually did a video that said, hey, so here's what happened. And he showed all the projects he was working on that failed. And it was like, ah, okay. So he's been
busy
working his butt off. It's just nothing's working. So he could, but his videos are just, they're beautifully shot.
Wow.
The cinematography is ridiculous. The music is ridiculous. The instructional content is ridiculous. It's just everything about this dude is a home run.
I just subscribed. Package. Thank you so much for telling me about this. This is so cool.
My favorite thing about this podcast is sharing like content creators.
You guys are so good at it.
His video, the invisible PC as a maker, Aaron, especially with your design sensibilities.
Right.
That table with the hairpin legs is the PC.
Yeah.
Really?
That's the PC. That's why it's in the table. I'm telling you, it's
bonkers. A beautiful table. I figured he just made something that was see-through. No, the table. That is so cool. Okay, I can't wait to watch all these.
Yeah, his stuff is some serious quality content. And he's another one of those guys, like one day I'm gonna work up the guts to go, hey Matt, would
you want to be on the podcast?
Right. Yeah.
You're amazing and I got a bit of a man crush. So
absolutely. I hope that works out. I can't wait to hear it. It'll happen at some point, Vincent. So I'm looking forward to it.
I think so. I think we'll hit a point where, you know, we're going to become a rite of passage for makers to be on this podcast.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm glad I made it.
You're in early.
Definitely a rite of passage.
Woo!
So yeah, that's the channel's DIY Perks. The video is called Building an Artificial Sun That Looks Unbelievably Realistic. And believe me, it does. And by the way, the other cool thing he does is he does show you a much more easily made and approachable way to do the same thing. You may not get exactly the same results, but you can employ the same techniques to get a similar result.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Experiment with kids, you can do that too. So check that one out. Okay. Cool. I've blathered enough. Ethan, you have something special you want to talk about.
Well, I guess. So my thing of the week. So my thing of the week might sound weird when I first say it, but hear me out. So my thing of the week is hashtag makers nuts. It is a campaign for testicular cancer awareness. And people are making a bunch of projects to support that and create awareness and raise money for testicular cancer awareness, which is a real thing and really, really important. So I think we decided, right, Vincent, that the founder is Wood.
The Wood Engineer?
Yeah, Wood Engineer. Yeah.
I think so. If not, somebody will invariably correct us.
Definitely.
But
I want to showcase two people that are doing projects that to support this project. And the first one is Dead Rise Woodworks, who is Emmett. And he is a wood turner, and he turned these two wooden, quote, testicles, and then made this kind of gross, amazing testicular sack. I don't know how else to describe it. It's truly amazing.
It's a sack. Yeah, I mean, it's like a pouch.
It's a pouch, right? Yeah. That the testicles go in, and yeah, this is a really hard thing to describe on a podcast.
Honestly, if you didn't know that it had those innuendos, you would think it was just a pouch with had a couple of balls in it, you know?
Yeah, so right, obviously, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you can't, like, if you look at it, you wouldn't. It doesn't have that reference. You have to kind of be on the inside to understand the
right. I mean, there's some hairs that are strategically placed to look like, you know, yeah. Anyways, so it's an amazing project and
it's a great
amazing cause.
Yeah,
exactly.
I really like how they've used that to gain attention. I think it's wonderful because it keeps it a little light and fun and entertaining.
It's one of those things too that I think that I guys are really uncomfortable talking about.
Sure.
And so I think that's an important thing, that it's stupid to be that kind of guy. So anyways, so he's done that. And Austin of High Caliber Craftsmanship.
High Caliber Craftsman, yep.
Yep. He also did a video where he talked about making these amazing metal, what are they, copper nuts?
Acorn nuts.
Yeah. Yep. So for the cause and everything like that. So anyways, the cause is amazing. These guys are great for doing it. And it's super amazing that they put out in this work to raise money and to donate it to a super special cause. So
I
check
think it's
that
great.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah. Great recommendation.
Yep.
And you're building something, right, Ethan?
No, but now I think I have to because you just said that. But
did you just get shamed into doing something?
I'm sorry. I thought I could have sworn you had said that there was something you were contributing. But pressure.
No, I gave Emmett a lot of advice. But,
okay.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe some leather testicles are
workshop that. You could come up with something really cool. And I love that, you know, it's for a good cause and it's interesting and, you know, a little clickbait. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I will get started on that tomorrow.
I can't wait.
This is a moment right now. This is a moment. I'll just call it a moment. So, yeah, that's a good one. The hashtag is #makersnuts. So if you want to like look into what people are doing, you can follow that hashtag. You can follow it on YouTube. I think you can follow it on Instagram. Actually, if there's a hashtag, it's probably on Instagram somewhere. So take a look.
It is an auction. So people are raising money. So go donate.
Yeah, be generous.
And you know what? If I make a nut sack tomorrow, Aaron, we're going to put it up on Etsy.
I think Aaron has to bid on your nutsack if you
yes.
Okay.
Well, I'm happy to own anything Ethan's made, even if it's a nutsack.
Yeah, I mean, you did convince him to show his nutsack to the world, so it would be right if you put some money toward it.
Absolutely.
God, double entendre never gets old.
Never.
Clean tag.
Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys. This has been such a pleasure.
We will have all your links in the show notes. Is there anything that you want, aside from your website, your Instagram, your YouTube, and your Pinterest? I think you'll be our first ever Pinterest link in the show notes.
And I'm definitely hitting you up on that Pinterest.
Absolutely. Is there anything else that you want to direct people toward, or does that just about cover
it? I think that covers it. Yeah, pretty easy. Yeah. Thank you so much.
It's been so good talking to you. It's been so good.
Likewise.
I've met you through Ethan. And Ethan has spoken so highly of you years. It's just so great to finally get to meet you. So
I agree. I look forward to this new friendship, Vincent. I was really, really enjoyed visiting with you.
Aw, I feel the love.
Right?
Absolutely. Love. And that's a, love fest.
That's always a good way. That's always a good way to end a visit with a new friend.
Right. Yeah. Feel the love. It's sincere. I really, this has been such a pleasure, and I'm looking forward, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person and seeing you again, Ethan. It'll happen.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah. Eventually, when we're all let out of our house and we're not grounded anymore, then we can all come out and play.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Let's all be nice. Good. Let's all be
so
good.
It's so nice to like connect with people every
people?
Week.
People. Oh, I've heard of those.
Huh? Thank goodness we have this technology, really. It's right? The thing that has saved us during this year.
Definitely.
You ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. If it wasn't for technology, we'd all be hermits.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't do it.
Well, I still am a hermit, but
it's true. This is true. I can confirm.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for continually submitting your reviews. We really do appreciate them. We love you all, and we will be back again next week. We've got guests for the next couple of weeks, so if you checked out because you were tired of hearing just Ethan and I, come back. We got lots and lots of guests coming. You don't have to hear us talk. You can hear other people talk. It's great. And we actually let other people talk now. Learn. That's important. Have a great week, everybody. We will see you again next time.